Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the Des Bishop Podcast. Welcome back. It was a long, hot summer. And in New York, it was a quite hot autumn. And it had gotten cold, both in the weather and between myself and the listener. A cold, barren pause of interviews. But, both metaphorically and physically, the heat has returned. And we are going to warm up our relationship with an interview, a chat with Mia Jackson, great comedian from Atlanta. You might know her from The American Last Comic Standing and the movie Mother's Day. But I know her because she has joined me on a great set of gigs in Aruba, in the Caribbean, right off the coast of Venezuela. So it has warmed up weather-wise too. And this interview, this chat, was recorded on the beach yesterday in 28 degree Celsius weather. And it was the nicest location I've ever recorded a podcast. And it was great. And, I mean, the reason I'm chatting to Mia is because we're together. And I thought it was a fortuitous time because there's a lot to talk about in relation to women in comedy, the last few weeks of things that have come out in the media. So this chat is 50% a fun chat getting to know Mia and 50% an important chat about, you know, what it's like to be a woman in comedy, which, you know, it's a conversation that we've touched on before, but I guess, you know, for me personally, I have to have a revisit because, you know, there's been a lot of articles since the Louis C.K. stuff came out about how women feel they're treated in the world of comedy. I was particularly moved by a Lori Kilmartin article in the New York Times. And it made me rethink a lot of behavior that goes on. And so it was great to be able to chat to me about that. So if that's all you're interested in, though I don't recommend doing this, that chat starts on approximately 34 minutes. I can't say for sure because I'm recording this intro and then I'm putting the intro on. But let's just say approx 34 minutes. But let's not beat around a bush. Wonderful, funny person, Mia Jackson. This is my chat with her.
So you want to ask me the question again you asked me before we started recording?
What I would like to know before I continue is, will this podcast make me famous in Ireland?
I mean, I'm going to be honest, I don't think so. And there's a number of reasons.
All right, fine.
Number one, I haven't been great at putting podcasts up lately, so
all right.
Sadly, you are you're almost in the pioneer status because I haven't posted since Charlottesville, when I had a rant on my own in my car after Trump's reaction to Charlottesville.
So this has been some months, is what you're saying?
Yes, and so the optimum time to be on a podcast would not be the first, you know, the first upload.
After
in months.
A rant.
Well, no. The rant was very popular.
Oh,
but
okay.
The point is that I just haven't been posting, I've lost
some momentum. Why have you lost? You're
pure,
famous.
Pure procrastination. Pure procrastination. And also, in my defense, because I've moved to New York and I've got a, you know, I'm trying to, like, you know, basically start a new, you know, part of my career. I have been quite focused on that, and I just haven't felt the huge motivation for doing a podcast.
Well, you know what? If I can get one Irish fan out of this.
I promise you, Mia, just on your voice alone.
I hope so.
Because you are the first Southerner that I've had on the podcast. Well, I had Leonard Oots, but he's only like half Southern.
Right. Leonard is what? He was Virginia. Yeah. I'm deep South. Georgia. Yeah.
You're Atlanta, Georgia.
Georgia,
right?
Yes. Yeah. And I'm not even from Atlanta.
So, So you're from outside Atlanta?
I'm from outside of Atlanta. I just lived in Atlanta for a long time.
Most Irish people would not be that familiar with Atlanta other than The Walking Dead.
Yeah, everybody knows it for The Walking Dead.
And I don't know what else they would know Atlanta for.
There's, I don't know. Who I don't know either.
Connecting flights to Orlando or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know what is Atlanta known for? Well, peaches maybe.
Really?
Well, you know that's the peach state.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's the or is it peanuts? it's the peach state because peaches were on our license plates at one point.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so.
So you're the first proper Southerner that I've had on the podcast.
I'm pretty excited about it.
So, you know, we're going to cover some topics. I don't normally give a rundown, but first, here's the rundown of what we're going to talk about. First, I want to just get to know you.
All right.
A little bit.
All right. Here we go.
And then, we should probably talk about our setting, which we'll talk about immediately.
Very
and
important.
And then, in conclusion, I've had many women on my podcast. But, you know, I avoid the women in comedy conversation sometimes because I feel like that's the cliche. However, in this instance, it's not the cliche. It's the burning issue.
It is of the day.
Of the week.
How do you say and burning du jour? Can you say that? I don't know.
Issue du jour.
Yeah.
But I don't know how to say burning issue French.
Me either. And I took French. I was in French Honor Society.
Really?
Yeah. And I do not remember. Anything. I don't even think I could read my certificate.
You have to use a language to remember it.
You're right. I failed.
So we'll go through a few other things, but then I do want to discuss that.
Yeah, I'm ready.
We've been talking about it a lot.
We have been. It's important.
In other company, and it's interesting, and I've got some questions, and even I was jogging this morning, I was thinking about it. But first, we are here in Aruba.
We are in Aruba.
So to set the tone here for our listeners, this is without doubt the best location we have recorded a podcast.
Of all the podcasts I've ever done, this the best location ever.
When you think about it, you know, because I have a love-hate relationship with the internet and with modern technology, but at this moment you'd have to say this is the pinnacle of technology and leisure being brought together in just a momentous moment.
Like the fact that we're sitting here
on the beach
under a fake tree,
under a fake sort of like, you know, like a thatched thing blocking the sun from us. It's I guess in American terms it's about 89 degrees, in Irish terms about 28 degrees Celsius.
Okay. I never got into Celsius.
Yeah,
well, but that's America's fault.
They like the imperial system,
and I did terrible with conversions. When they were trying to teach us, when I was a kid, they were like, we're going to be switching over to the new system, so you got to learn it. And then I never did well.
You resisted.
I was a part of the resistance.
So.
You're right.
The water is gorgeous, even though you won't get in it.
This is because, you know what? Let me just say it right here and right now. I do not know how to swim. And I'm not saying that from a stereotypical standpoint. Let me just be clear. My parents made me take swimming lessons as a child, and I did not learn how to swim. This is all my fault.
Which is unfortunate because the water is so gorgeous.
It's beautiful.
I mean, today is not as sunny as the other days, but it's still roasting hot. I'll take a selfie when we're done so that people know. We're on two lounge chairs provided by the great staff here at the Marriott Stellaris Resort in Aruba.
Yes, word
and
to the staff.
We're doing some shows here. And in fairness, I mean, I get on well with Ray. Ray is organizing it, but I think... Me and you have partnered up.
We have.
For this trip, we're the partners in crime.
Somewhat in the same age range. We are in the same age range.
Same age range, that's right. You look younger than me, but that's another stereotype we won't bang on about.
We won't talk about it. You look young. Stop it.
I'm doing all right, but anyway.
You moisturize, so.
I do moisturize.
I knew it.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, it's funny because Bill Burr has that great routine about his
girls, lotion.
About Ashy. But I myself and my brothers used to joke. It annoyed me when I saw that routine because I had been in my mind thinking, I'm going to do a routine about black guys and lotion, because when we were younger in school in New York, before I moved to Ireland, we always thought it was really funny that black guys moisturize, because like there's a stereotype about moisturization that's like a little effeminate, right?
Really?
Amongst like white.
Here.
So like you know, it's terrible, but white guys were always like a little afraid of the black guys, which, we, you know, that's a fact. And so we'd be in the dressing room, you know, like, and we'd be thinking like the black guys are the tough guys. And then they come over to you and be like, yo, man, you got any lotion? We'd be like, what? You got any lotion? We're
little
like,
did
what
you know.
Like, what do you mean lotion?
Little did you
so
know.
So I always thought that there would be a routine in that. And then boom.
Then that bit blows up.
Billy kind of nailed it with that. Now, do you like that bit? Or
no, I love that bit. I thought it was great because I
Ashy
was like,
Ashy was the hook. I never would have got that hook.
Yeah, and I just remember when I heard it, I went and I knew white people that came to me afterwards and were like, "Did you like? Wow! Like they were amazing." I'm like, "Have you not been using lotion all this time?" Like I just, I mean, because now everybody's into what is it, the face masks and stuff.
Yeah,
and
that was big in China, and that actually has really took off here in the last couple of years. I noticed the ones, you know, the cloth ones.
Yeah. And you just sit there and you just sit with it on your face for like 15 minutes.
That's come
like,
from Asia for sure.
Yeah. All of the, pretty much all the ones that I have purchased, they're all Korean.
Yeah, that came from, because when I was going out with a woman in China, she was big into that and she put it on my face a couple of times. But they never fit my face.
Was your forehead exposed or was it your chin?
Forehead was exposed and then like the nose didn't quite go, you know, like by the time it got to my lips, it was kind of like, oh.
So you only had half, so you had to use two facial masks.
No, it just wasn't that comfortable.
All right.
Do you use them?
Have I tried one? I have some. I haven't used them yet, but I have been exfoliating lately with some this strawberry scrub stuff that I found, and it is pretty amazing.
You're liking it.
I do love it.
Because I'm just like, I always just buy those, the Vaseline ones, either the green one with the aloe cucumber or the brown one, which is supposed to be like
that's
cocoa butter.
You know, that sounds like such a man thing that you don't even need like the green one or the brown one.
No, the aloe cucumber is the green one, and the brown one is a cocoa butter
or
infused.
Or it could be something else.
But what I'm saying is, I use that and I put it on my face, and I feel like it's fine. I'm really killing my cred here discussing this.
No, you're not. You're letting people know moisturization is important.
It's going to be an article. There's going to be an article in Vulture. It's like, how racist is Des Bishop? He immediately talked to the black comedian about lotion.
But didn't I bring it up?
No, I'm kidding. You said I could tell you moisturize.
If I brought it up, it's okay. This is how you bridge.
It's inappropriate to discuss lotion.
This is how you... Wouldn't that be... But you know what? Somebody would write a think piece on that. You know what I mean? Like, because we get mad about everything now, so somebody would totally be like, this black comedian talked to a white comedian and they discussed lotion. How do you feel? And then
he wasn't even up to date with the science.
He doesn't even know.
He had the audacity to suggest that the cucumber and aloe Vaseline was fine for his face.
Doesn't he know that... That is oppressive to black people. It'll be some, and then the cucumber
some blogger,
industry will
yeah,
be
some
like,
some blogger will get a raise.
Yeah. And then people are like, something would happen. It'll be upsetting.
Somebody will get upset. Somewhere.
Right. I don't want anybody to get upset. I'm just trying to help people through lotion.
So I got to know you a little bit in the cellar, but I just got to know you on this trip.
This is true. This is. Because I'm usually scared sitting in a corner at the cellar.
Yeah, but it's interesting because you've evolved out of a Southern comedy scene.
I have. Yes, it's so weird. It's a weird thing.
So I was drilling you about, like, is it different down South and all that?
It is.
So, I mean, I don't know, so I'm going to have to find out.
You know what? This is it's pockets of places in the South that's different. Like I said, I was pretty much an Atlanta scene person for a long time. And so, but even in Atlanta, it's still pockets of places where you go, oh, this crowd is different from this crowd or this crowd. But then you go to some places that are super just isolated. And it's so weird because a lot of times there are jokes that I'll do in the South and the response that I get will be completely different in New York. And But in New York, I'm like, this feels better. I'm like, it's weird because sometimes
you think it's more sophisticated.
Sometimes it's like the nuances that it'll be things where like it'll be a tag where I might do it in the South and people are like, yeah. But in New York, I will have people sometimes come up to me afterwards and they're like, oh man, when you said this thing, and I'm like, oh, wow, that's so cool. But then in certain places in the South, that'll happen too, but not everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess. I mean, I don't think people in New York see you as a novelty, right? Like in the sense that, like, a lot of people say to me, push the Irish thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, sometimes people say, push that because then you're, like, unique. But, like, I don't think a New York audience would go, like, oh, this is really interesting, this Southern perspective. Do you think so?
No, I mean, because it's, like, there are certain things where I've wondered, like, I'm like, I wonder if this accent is making them go, isn't that a sweet, precious person that's sounding weird and different, so we have to listen to her. But then a lot of times I'll just see people going, oh, that was really funny, and then that just makes me feel like, oh, they just like the set. It wasn't
there's nothing you can do sometimes. Like I can't deny that the fact that I was American in the early part of my career in Ireland made it easier for me, you know. But I don't think that's happening with you in New York.
I don't think so. I mean, I just feel like a regular ass black person just doing jokes, but with a twang.
But I don't know. I could be wrong. I mean, everyone plays on their identity to a degree.
Yeah, because you have to. I mean, it's part of who you are. So, yeah. But I mean, I think even from the very beginning, I've always just kind of, I've never really relied too much on saying, oh, I'm a Southern comic. Yeah. It's just, I mean, even when I was in the South, it was just always more like, yeah, this is just my life. Like, I don't, you know. Some of it will be shaped by the fact that I'm in the South because this is where I live, but then otherwise. But yeah, I don't have a lot of things where I'm like, this is a super Southern. I mean, I do talk about biscuits, but I feel like that's kind of nationwide.
Yeah, well, I'm always a fan of it, you know, because we don't.
Who doesn't?
I haven't heard a lot of material about biscuits.
Yeah, and I'm talking about like not European biscuits as in cookies. I'm talking about biscuity ass biscuits.
I'm glad you clarified that. Even your description shows that you haven't really lived in a world where biscuits are also another thing, because you were like, I'm talking about biscuity ass biscuits, like that clarifies it. That's clarified.
But I know it's not biscuits as in cookies, you know. I know
I think KFC has helped the Europeans to understand terrible. That there's another type of yes, but they know that when you get a biscuit with your chicken, you're not getting like
a cookie.
A digestive cookie.
Don't
worry about it. The people that are listening understand.
I want to know what it, but how would you just throw it out?
A digestive is like a type of biscuit. Like it's not like an oatmeal cookie, but I guess it would be heading towards the oatmeal family.
Does it help with digestion?
No, it's just called a digestive. Ask me why.
I just, yeah.
And I'm not going to take out my phone and Google like where the origins of why a digestive is called digestive.
I was hoping that it would be like a cookie you ate to help you like work through your system.
I know. Well, you would think that, but
that's what it sounds like. It doesn't even sound fun.
And a rich tea
like,
biscuit.
Who wants a digestive?
There's a whole world out there. I mean, honestly, I feel like if you went to Ireland and did a show, you'd probably find yourself doing 5 minutes about like biscuits and the difference in biscuits and. I think straight away you'd get a lot of laughs if you'd be like, so I was eating all these, I'm really sick because I've been eating all these digestives.
But that sounds like a punishment. Like go in there and eat the digestive cookies and you're like, no, I want chocolate chip. And they're like, no, eat the digestives. Like that sounds.
No, but they're nice. They're sweet and kind of, do you know what like a shortbread cookie is?
I do like, yeah, I think, yeah, shortbread, yeah, I think, I yeah. guess it's.
Yeah, anyway, it's those are the types of biscuits that we're, you know, that you're dealing with in Ireland.
But then what's a savory biscuit there? Is that, does it exist?
A bun?
Like, is it just a bun?
A bun?
So a bun
or
would be
a scone? You can have savory scones.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not like the food expert. I can find other podcasters for you if you need to discuss this.
No, I just want one of your Irish fans to just contact me and explain.
Well, what's the best social media to contact you?
I mean, I'm on Facebook, but I would accept a Twitter DM at Mia Comedy.
At Mia Comedy. And that's also your Instagram.
That is also my Instagram. I'll take messages there, too, as long as they're not weird. and I don't have to look at your message request and go, nope, not accepting.
So before we move on from this, the last thing, because we were talking about, the only problem with having all the conversations that we've had is we've blown a lot of good conversations.
This is true.
You know, I was aware of that. But, you know, you have to appreciate somebody for more than just their value in filling minutes on your podcast. So I didn't want to stop you in the middle of our conversations over the last 2 days.
I did go to
you mind if we discuss that on the podcast? But
no, I would. It would have been totally
fine. But just
fine.
Because we were talking about sort of like stereotypical Southern material and all that, like not just in your comedy, all your life you have sort of haven't fit, so to speak, in the you know, the identity that some people thought for you, right?
Yeah. But beyond just in life in general, I guess I never thought I don't fit.
You feel that?
No. I fit, but I don't, like, all right, let's see. There are a lot of things. Okay, one, if I go with, let's take the racial part out of it.
Yeah, take
but
that
if
out.
But if we go with the just being a woman, you know, being a chick, I hope that doesn't upset anybody out there, but being a woman, a lady.
Yeah, well, or, funnily enough, my cousin was complaining to me that she doesn't like the word lady, but let's save that discussion for another time. But, know, there's a lot of podcasts that need to be done.
Yeah, a lot of people get upset with the I mean, I understand the whole, no one wants to be called a female. I get that, too.
Yeah, and a lady has connotations with his class. And,
yeah.
But anyway.
But yeah, with a woman, like, I mean, I get a lot of, you know, it's because that was the thing, like, growing up, I used to get in, like, my friends would get annoyed with me because I wouldn't sit around and plan fake weddings with them, you know. I was, you know, and they would be, like, mine would always be something terrible. Like, they would go, my colors are going to look like this. And I would be like, I want turquoise and brown because that sounds stupid. And then they'd be like, you're not taking this serious. So I was never into that kind of stuff. And then even when I was actually engaged, like, even that was not fun to me. Like, the whole idea of, like, finding somewhere to actually just go look for stuff and pick out dresses, and I was like, this is all ridiculous. I'm like, who thinks this is fun? And so, and I would even have, you know, other women being like, bitch, what's wrong with you? Like, you got a man to propose to you and you ain't hyped up. If that was me, I would be getting married tomorrow. And I would be like, ew, that's really, like, so it was just all kind of.
But that not just comedians, but I think that's a running theme for a lot of people who end up in performance or the creative world, a sense of not fitting in and trying to make sense.
Yeah. So that was always a thing. Like, even sometimes now I have conversations with people where they're like, well, do you want to just, like, you know, like, you know, I had friends even say stuff to me like, well, you gotta get it together because, you know, you're getting older, so. What are you gonna do? Are you gonna buy a house? Are you gonna have children? What are you gonna do? So, you know, I get those kind of questions, and then, you know, and I go home sometimes. Now, not my parents, because my parents are pretty much like,
they've always accepted you for being.
Yeah,
you.
They're pretty much like, we raised this weirdo, so we kind of know that we get it, you know. But then, like, but I'll have other family members that will ask me things like, well, what are you doing? Like, what's the plan? Like, so you actually. This comedy thing is like your thing, you know, or I'll get, you know, the questions of like, well, you graduated from college and you pick this, like you don't want to like nice corporate jobs. So I've gotten those kind of questions from people.
But I think everybody gets that to a degree when they get into a sort of a quote unquote unnormal career.
A non-traditional. Traditional field. Yeah. So I've gotten men, and then just a lot of times, just, you know.
But even when you were a kid, like, because you love reading, right?
Oh my god, yeah. So when I was in elementary school, I would get picked on for reading. Like, there would be people who would, oh my god, like, why are you over there reading books? I'm like, well, what else would I be reading, really? Like, what? Like, she likes books, you know. And especially when we would have like the what are those things, and they would put out the, I don't know if it was called the weekly reader, whatever, you could order books. And like, I would order books, and then we'd go to the library, and then I found out I could get more than one, you know. And then they'd be like, why you always got books? You know, you love books. And then I would get asked to read out loud. And
oh, that's funny.
Yeah. And then the kids would come to me afterwards, why the teacher always asking you to read out loud? And I'd be like, because I can read. That's why. And I know how to pause properly in places. And yeah, it was just such a weird thing. Like, why would you pick on me for reading?
Yeah.
Like, who does that? Yeah.
I mean, like,
who does that?
I didn't pick on kids for reading, but
for
you
reading.
Know, we called kids nerds.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's the thing. I wasn't really. I may have been called a nerd behind my back, but I mean, people, but I was always considered, you know, in elementary school, like, oh, that's one of the, oh, she's one of the
bookie,
you know,
types.
Yeah. Cause I think even one year I got skipped like to, cause my reading level was so above average that I got moved to the grade ahead. Like I didn't get skipped to the grade ahead, but I got put in a reading group with the fifth graders when I was in the fourth grade. But then somewhere, someone along the lines in the elementary school, they were like, well, that's not fair because it's only this one person or these two kids. So then I had to basically go back through the same book again with my entire class, even though I'd already done it. But
so did you feel you were a bit held back?
Yeah, I was annoyed because I was like, well, I already did all this. So like whenever they would ask questions about the stories, I was like, oh, well, this happened and this happened because I already read it, you know. And
but did you wish that you could have gone to like a... Like, did you have the opportunity to go to like one of the specialist high schools or anything?
No, I just went to a regular ass school. Yeah. I got kind of annoyed with my parents because by the time I got to high school, they started doing magnet programs that were like, oh, this one is math and science, or this one is focused on liberal arts. And I asked my parents, I was like, well, I want to do one of the magnet schools, and they're like, no one's gonna drive you, or they will take you to the school that you're supposed to go to. Yeah. My high school's the magnet was horticulture. Like who? Am I saying it? Horticulture. Yes.
Horticulture. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, I don't even know we had a greenhouse at my high school. I think I saw it once, and I'm pretty sure it had broken windows.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah. So.
So you feel education-wise, perhaps you weren't given as many opportunities as you could have had.
I mean, elementary school was where I felt the most mad because I just kind of felt like, if you saw that I was reading a level ahead, why not just let me keep.
Yes.
Advancing instead of going, never mind, we'll just reset you and put you back in the reading group with the stuff you just did. But it ended up being fine because, I mean, I, you know, made it to college.
Yeah, you're educated.
And got my life together, so.
So we have something in common. We both had broken engagements.
Yeah, you had a broken engagement.
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to get into the details.
Right.
Just so you,
no need to.
Yeah, just so you know.
Just know that it happened.
So. Do you feel that broken engagement was like a turning point in your life, or actually your engagement was always a bit?
It was a turning point. Let me tell you why. And I did not realize this. So, when you think about the things that quote unquote you're supposed to do, like I said, that it was, even though I never thought I would be the like, oh, I'm going to get engaged and this thing's going to happen. Well, when that happened, it was like, oh, I am a person that this is happening to. I am engaged. Maybe I'm not as odd as I thought. Like, all right, yeah. Things are happening. Well, then I didn't realize that at the time when I was in it, I didn't realize how much the relationship was actually kind of keeping me back. And we actually kept each other back. Like, we just were not a good fit at all. But as soon as the relationship was over, like, in my head when I went, I'm done, everything changed. Like, my comedy career changed. I ended up losing a lot of weight, and then I just got a lot more confidence back on stage again, and everything just changed. Like, it was, yeah. And I can even see the pictures. Like, when I look at the pictures, I'm like, oh yeah, this was post engagement, this was pre-engagement.
So you feel like that's almost like another person, right?
I feel, yeah. I mean, like, and there were people who saw me perform. Like, I had friends who, like, if they hadn't seen me in a few months and then they came back and saw me perform afterwards, they were like, holy shit. Like, I can't curse, right? Because I've just been cursing.
It's not a problem.
Okay. But yeah, but I had friends coming back and they're like, you seem completely different on stage now. But I just felt a lot more open. I felt a lot more confident. And I just, but I also think losing the weight also helped too.
Yeah.
So, but I just felt like I felt like I wasn't as burden, because it was a lot for me to keep up, because it was just not only trying to take care of myself, but also going, hey, I hope this other person is okay. I hope.
But you weren't aware of it at the time, right? Did you feel trapped or?
Yeah, but it wasn't until I got out of it.
So it was only in hindsight.
Yeah. Where I was like, oh, that's what was happening. Yeah. Yeah. And then other people in my life, like my mom and my sister, and, you know, they were just kind of like, yeah, I can. And my sister especially, she could really see a difference. And she's just like, you just seem like a different person.
Wow, that's amazing. And he wasn't like bad per se, right?
Yeah,
it wasn't
just
like
not,
one of these situations where he was controlling you. And
I mean, no, not like that. It was just more like we just were not good for each other. Like we were, and he used to say it all the time. He used to go, our relationship seems more like a business transaction because there was no.
Those are the only ones that work, by the way.
Yeah, that's right. That's what it should have been. Right. But it was like there was no romantic aspect to it at all. I mean, it was very much where we would be like, hey, we should write some stuff together. We should blah, blah, blah. But then when it came to stuff like, hey, we should go take a romantic stroll on the beach. And I'd just be like,
And was he a comedian?
Sort of, kind of. That's how we met.
You were both in the creative
world. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Then he was, but he didn't really stick with it. He became more of like a. He got more on like the production side of
right.
things, and so,
pussy, couldn't.
Yeah,
stick
he was,
it out, man.
But it was for the best though. Like I think we both. I mean, from what I know of what he's done now, like he's been thriving in whatever it is he's doing, and I feel like I'm thriving. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. So.
And you never know if you would have. You never know if you would have got to this moment.
Right,
I don't mean this moment in Aruba. I just mean, you know, you don't know
if,
you know, maybe you needed that. I mean, who knows? I think life is random, actually. But
you think so?
I think life is random, yeah.
Yeah.
You
don't? I think it's this. I mean, I don't necessarily think it's all predetermined, but I do think certain things will happen to get you to certain places.
Well, I just think they happen, and this is where you are. But I mean, it doesn't matter. It's not.
We're here now.
Yeah,
yeah.
We don't have to have that.
But yeah,
philosophical
I feel pretty
discussion.
Good though. I feel pretty good about what I ended up, what ended up happening with my life.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Because I mean, it just as my sister likes to say, she'll look back at old pictures and she'll go, "I am so sorry." She's like, I didn't know that your cheeks were so huge.
I should have said so.
She'll say, my old roommate, he would say that all the time. If like Facebook memories would pop up and he'd be like, yo, my bad. Like, I didn't know. I thought this is just how you looked. And he's like, because when I met you, that's how you look. So I just thought that was your face. And then years later he's like, we didn't know this was your base. Like we didn't know this was what you was capable of. We just thought that was you. You know, but then like my friends who knew me in college that were my friends through that whole time, they're like, oh, now you look like old Mia. Now you look like Mia we know from back in the day.
I mean, that's an interesting conversation about should your friends really be saying to you like, yo, you've gotten too big.
Yeah. But the people who met me when I was in the relationship, like that's just, they just thought my resting weight was that. Like
yeah,
they were
yeah.
just like, oh, this is how you look, you know? And then they're like, we didn't know that you didn't, you know, that you didn't have cheekbones. Like we just thought that. I mean, I still don't have them now. I've never had cheekbones, but they were. I mean,
well, you're very photogenic.
Thank you. I think it's, I do have.
I think you have cheekbones.
Yeah, they're not prominent, but.
No, and by the way, when I say you're photogenic, I'm not saying you're not beautiful in real life, but some people
photograph better. I was thinking
well.
About that. Yeah, I was like, what does it mean when you're photogenic? I'm like, am I unphotogenic in real life?
Some people say it's a yeah, but it's not because you know like. Just some people just really like the camera loves them, you know, and that's.
I feel like I can take a good picture. I feel like I can.
Yeah, you definitely can.
If I keep my smile under control, but.
But if you go back to that interim Mia, get out the way.
Yeah, when we look at chunk face Mia, you know, and I've had friends.
Have you ever done that on stage? The bit about my sister went. I'm sorry, I didn't know your cheeks was.
I didn't know. I never have. But yeah, she'll. Yeah,
but
or
you
she'll,
don't know either. Like,
yeah.
When somebody loses weight and then you look back, you go, wow.
Yeah.
You know, it's only. You need the comparison.
Oh, yeah.
Plus, it happens slowly, so people don't notice.
It's right. And I like. and my sister will sometimes go back and find old pictures in her phone, and then she'll send me a message and go, like, did you know about this? Like, look at this. Or I'll find pictures and send to her, and I'm like, look at what I was doing in May of 2012. Look at me. Look at me.
Oh, when the Facebook memory comes up.
Yeah, And then one time somebody tagged me in a picture from several years ago, and this is when I used to, I was wearing these very large black pants. I had on these shoes that could only be described as like security guard shoes. Like those, like they were not stylish. They were like these, I don't know why I even own the shoes.
It's offensive to security guards.
No, it's not. They know that they're utilitarian and used to fight and run after people. But that's what the shoes look like. And I had like this big sweater, and the person's like, oh my God, look, Mia, look what I found. And I was like, don't untag me out of this. I'm not allowing this on my timeline. I can't. You let that stay in your memories.
Yeah, I've erased it. I've right. erased it from my memories.
Right. I'm like,
man,
have you seen my new pictures? I am adorable. I don't wear shoes like that anymore.
Let's see how long we've been chatting here. Oh my God. Do you know that we've been chatting for 40 minutes?
Shut your mouth.
Damn. I'm going to have to edit this down. We got to get into the meat
Let's get to the meat and potatoes of this thing. Man.
So the week that's in it, well, the week and a half, I guess. I mean, we don't have to discuss Louis C.K. per se.
Right, right.
You know, because what's been interesting to me, not just as a male comedian, but as a man over the last number of weeks in relation to all this stuff that's coming out about the way that women are treated is, it's definitely a deeper level of understanding of misogyny, the patriarchy, men's power over women.
Mm-hmm.
It's been eye-opening, sometimes difficult, you know? But I think one of the positive things, specifically about the Louis C.K. thing, is in our industry, women have felt more confident to speak up about how the misogyny has affected them, you know? Because for me, even though I've been aware of that it's not easy for women, I was not aware of how difficult it can be at times, particularly in relation to, you know, like just harassment.
Yeah. And I think that, like, that's why I look at some social media where it's a blessing and a curse. You know, sometimes it's just too much, but then other times it's like, okay, now this is giving people the space to go, oh, if I say this thing, I won't be judged, or somebody else will look at this and go, oh, you know what? I can tell my story too, and we can gain some traction out of this thing now. So now I don't have to feel like I'm hiding in the corner anymore.
So you mean you just feel more confident in the place, or actually you're confident in saying some stuff that you've wanted to say?
You said confident in where?
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Just confident in the space of comedy.
Well,
you know, like confident in the rooms and the...
No, I'm just saying being able to say something. Because, I mean, still one-on-one, you know, you're going to still get some people who think that what they're doing is... fine, you know, but I mean, I'm just saying, I think it, but I guess maybe it is in both places, because maybe now people will think twice about, you know, like, oh, maybe I shouldn't say this thing to this woman, or maybe I should actually just talk to her and respect her as a person.
Because like when I read the Lori Kilmartin article in the New York Times, and people can Google it if they like. It's a good article.
It is a good
article. I
know
Lori. And, you know, I'm just, I've been oblivious to the amount of harassment. I mean, I have not been oblivious to the amount of sexist comments.
Right. But
inappropriate joking. But I have definitely been oblivious to, you know, the behavior which seems to be widespread, which is bordering on illegal.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, okay. And I because I don't know if I've ever told this publicly before, but like when I first started doing comedy, I was hosting at a club, and there was a headliner. I won't say his name, but there was a headliner.
Yeah, we're not going to get into that.
Who, like, before the shows, he was, you know, very nice to me. He's, you know, very complimentary. And then some of the other guy comics, because I went home, some other guy comics hung out with a guy. And then they were telling me the next day, like, hey, you probably want to be careful, because he kept asking about you. He was like, what's up with that girl? What's up with the girl that's hosting the show? Blah, blah, blah. What's up with her? And then the next night, before I bring him out on stage, like, he basically stands over me, pins me against the wall before I go on stage, and is like, oh, I could never have a woman like you. And then I just ducked under his arms, and I was like, all right, like, yo, like, move, you know. And then after that, oh, he was just very, you know, very cold towards me, and telling me all the things that he was praising me for a few days before. It was, yeah, you need to work on how you hold the microphone. You need to do this when Wow. you're on stage. You need to work on how you dress, because no one's going to take you serious. I remember he said no one was going to take me seriously if I didn't wear blazers on stage. And I was like, what is this, 1986? Like, are you serious? But he's like, you need to wear blazers. You need to do this, and you need to fix this. But I was like, oh, wow. Like, I wonder, I guess if I had just been like, what do you mean, a woman like me? Of course I find you attractive. I'm sure his whole thing would have been completely different. But that was like,
yeah, just the pinning against the wall. Like, this,
yeah,
is the
before
thing
before I went on stage.
This is the thing that's baffling me. It seems to be so much of that. And yeah. I was oblivious. Like, I feel guilty every day this last week and a half of being so, like, I don't know, was I fucking blind or what? But there just seems to be so much, like, physical harassment.
Yeah, and it's probably because you aren't a creep, that you didn't realize that people were being... You
I mean,
know.
Listen, I'm flirty for sure. You know, like, I'm a flirty guy, and I think over the years people would look back and be like, oh, you know, Des Bishop's not afraid to hit on a woman.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm...
But not actually hit one.
No, but what I'm saying is, like, I'm no innocent in terms of, like, I enjoy, but I consider that to be normal male-female interaction, mm-hmm. but I doubt myself every day now the last week and a half. But what has shocked me is how every single story has an element of physical
yeah.
intimidation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But this is a good thing, though, that it's making you say, let me examine my own behavior.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I'm examining my own behavior every day the last week and a half. Well, I mean, I was doing it anyway over the last year or two, you know, like stuff that comes out. And, like, mm-hmm. you know, I have talked to other women on the podcast. They talk about the prevalence of rape and these things, you know, mm-hmm. and it makes me question, because I think a lot of men have this knee-jerk reaction of, oh, this is an exaggeration. But, like, mm-hmm. I've questioned loads of things, but particularly because the Louis C.K. thing put it into comedy, and then it really comes out there about women and the way that women are treated in comedy, then it goes, wow, you know, like, I really feel like it's yeah, like, I feel bad that I didn't notice it. But I also, just in terms of, just like, it's shocking me, just nothing to do with comedy, how prevalent it is that men physically impose themselves, like,
mm-hmm.
I just did not know how afraid women are all the time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean
I've been becoming aware over the last number of years.
Yeah. But it's a good thing that you're aware, and it's a lot of people, but you're aware in a way where you're saying, this makes me want to think about my behavior, and it makes me go, wow, I can't believe I haven't been thinking about it. But I know some people who will say things like, oh man, this means that if I get famous, someone might say something about me. And it's like, well, what have you been doing that, if yes. that's your first thought, as opposed to, I should be believing women?
Well, yes, know? Yes and no, because I absolutely agree with what you're saying. But at the same time, like, when I see a cop, I automatically feel like I've done something wrong.
So
I think it is also a normal human reaction to be like, oh, shit, you know, what have I done? But, you know, I would not debate what you just said. I absolutely think that if you become overly paranoid, you probably, you know, you probably do have something.
Probably done something questionable.
Yeah.
You've done something.
Because even the story you were telling me earlier, we don't need to repeat it because I don't want, you know, to be naming names. And it's not in terms of naming names of a guy. It's naming names of another female comic that you were with, that where you experienced a situation where she felt unsafe. You know, like it just appears to me to be a situation where women, particularly like female comics, have felt unsafe often.
I mean, like I've done shows before where, you know, I've had, you know, people who after, I remember working with one comic and he brought somebody with him to do a guest spot, and the guy just walks up to me after my set and is like, I just, you know, you just got a cute mouth, and I just want to, and I'm like, good night. Like, and I'm like, and you're right in my face. And there have been times where I've actually worked at clubs where they will say, oh, well, can you drive the headliner home tonight? You know? And I'm like, I don't want to drive this person home. Like, why don't you brought them here? Like, why do I have to do it? I mean, unless it's somebody I already knew, was already cool with or something like that. But it's like, why would you have me drive home this man that I don't know? You know, even if I just worked with them for the night, why would you make me do that? Like, you brought them here. You get them back to where they...
And you feel like that was like a little bit of a... That's like inappropriate. Or just... Clearly just...
Because it's one of those things where, I mean, I kind of feel like... Like, at the very least, you should have transportation for the person, you know. I mean, like I said, unless you know that I know them. But there was, okay, that actually just made me think of another story. Worked this one club, and when I checked in the hotel, the woman at the front desk asked me, she's like, are you Mia? And I said, yes. And she goes, I'm sorry, I'm never supposed to tell about our other guests. She was like, but the other comic keeps asking about you. He keeps asking when you're coming. He keeps asking what room you're staying in. And I'm like, what? And she was like, you need to just drive yourself to the show and come right on back. Then when I got to the club.
She was telling, she was telling you to be careful.
The front desk clerk. And then when I got to the club, the staff is converging, like they're all around me, and I'm like, what, like did I do something? And they were like talking to me, like smiling through their teeth, and they're like, hey, just can you you want to go ahead and go to your car, you want to go to your car? And I'm like why are you guys pushing me out the door? And they're like, he keeps asking about you. They were like, just go, we're gonna tell him that you already left. And I'm like, what
the headliner.
And I'm like, what the hell is going on? So they are telling me, like, and this is in both of these, it was women, like, and it was the woman, the manager of the club was a woman. And she's just like, just go get in your car, just go leave. And I'm like, what is going on? And so the next
go ahead.
Yeah, but the next day I hear a knock at the door. And then when I get to the club, the guy's like, well, I knocked on your door earlier. Why didn't you answer it? Why? You know, he's like, I've been looking for you. And I'm just like, what? And it never, I'm talking to him, it seems more like he just needed a ride. But... he was creeping them out enough to where they were like, go away. Like, go get in your car. And then one of my other comic friends came and stayed with me because he was like, if they're all that freaked out, I'll just come make sure you're not by yourself.
But so here's the question. Did you ever look into it after the fact to say, this guy, it turns out this guy had a reputation that they were that worried?
I didn't know anything about him other than the only thing that made it, like, I think...
You must have had a rep. They must have been worried for your safety.
Maybe because, like, because the hotel person... She was the first person that said something. So I thought, like, all right, maybe this isn't that big of a deal. But then when I got to the club and it was also the club, I'm like, what is happening here? Why are both of you freaking out about this guy? You know, so it was
Because now you look back in hindsight and you hear all this stuff, and you just go, like, people knew about me.
Yeah. So I'm like, what in the?
There's like a making it, you know, like, made it okay. You know, it's like, we need to just appease this person because he's our headliner or he's our superstar.
Right. But they were ushering me out of there, and they're just like, just go get in your car. Just go. And I'm like, what? And they were like, just don't ask any questions. And I'm like, this is so, so weird. So.
Because Laurie Kilmartin is writing in the New York Times about every female comic has a club they don't play because they can't, you know, the promoter is inappropriate or, you know, like that basically the power dynamic restricts the amount of opportunities they have.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
they need to worry for their safety.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Or it's going to be.
And when you read that or you saw that or when you hear that, you think, yep.
Yeah. 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 Or you're like, oh, boy. Or if I go to this place, will this, you know, like, what was it? It was a promoter in one city where I remember he was asking me so many questions before I got to the place that I'm like, am I going to have to punch this dude when I get there? Because he's like, in fact, if you don't get here in time, I'll check you into the hotel room first. And I'm like, but why? Like, can't you just leave it under my name and let me check in? Or are you trying to get a copy of the key? Like, it's stuff like that that you have to think about beforehand. Yeah, yeah. Like, what? Like, I'm an adult. I can check myself in. What are you doing?
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know? Yeah.
And, like.
So you always question people's motives quite a bit.
Yeah, but I mean, it's totally understandable to then, you're allowed to be paranoid. You're allowed to be wrong for the yeah. sake of safety.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And so, and
in
then,
a situation where if it keeps happening, it's like, well, so what if I'm wrong 30% of the time? I mean, it's not like you're going to the papers making accusations. At the yeah. end of the day, it's like, you're allowed to be wrong for the sake of your own safety.
Yeah, but it's just that extra thing where I'm like, God, I hate that I have to be this paranoid before yeah. something, you know. But yeah, but my parents, they'll call and check and they're just like, everything good? Are you okay? Yeah. Like, you know.
And are you able to clearly delineate between what is like a guy that, you know, fancies you, or is it a very Irish term, but like a guy that's attracted to you, maybe trying to like wants to meet up. You're able to delineate between the two, right?
I mean, for the most part. But then sometimes, like I said beforehand, if you're only talking to someone via, you know, via text or, you know, Facebook Messenger, that kind of thing, where you're like, okay, this person seems to be asking me a lot of questions, so I don't know if this is them just being professional, or are they trying to make sure everything is good before I get there, or are they just like, hey, you know, hopefully we can hang out, you know, like, I don't, you know, and like I said, more often than not, it's been fine. It's just might be a person that's like, I want to make sure you're good, you know, but then you just don't know until you show up, you know, so.
Yeah, and plus you know, like you joke on stage about your boyfriend and a pillow fighting and everything, like you're quite capable.
Yeah, I could fight if necessary. I am 6 feet tall, so I think that's probably kept a lot of people from going, I don't think I want to run up on her. You know, I can't fight, but I probably, if I needed to, I could bite somebody.
Yeah, and you're like yes. street smart and all that. But you definitely feel
look,
like
no, I'd probably get stabbed in a street fight. Yeah. I don't
No, but like do you feel that there are certain Do you feel bad for certain people that just seem to be more vulnerable? Like, have you looked at certain people and thought, oh, you're going to be eaten up?
Yes. Like when I see, you know, when I see little tiny ladies, I'm always like, no, I hope
she's going to be okay.
Yeah. I'm like, I hope no one kind of feels like, well, she looks tiny and she looks weak, so I should be able to, you know, I should be able to take advantage of her if I need to. So sometimes I do get concerned about stuff like that. But I do think, like I said, just because I am taller than a lot of people, that they're kind of like, I don't think I want to try her.
I just had a thought, funnily enough. Yeah. I never equated the two things, but you know, I used to go to like a lot of AA and NA meetings, and like there's loads of like, you know, women come in, newcomers, very vulnerable, and like guys swarm on them. However, it's always said that should not be done, and like if it's being done, it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't prevent it, but at the same time, it's quite clear that if you're doing it, it's not cool. It's not illegal, but it's not cool.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if we need to bring that in more. Just like, let's be clear, you know.
To not swarm.
In this professional setting, yeah. In this professional setting, just fucking leave the women alone.
Yeah, because the thing is, like, and people get, like, I mean, you can work at a regular job and you end up dating your coworker. So it's like that's...
Yeah, there's exceptions to every rule.
That's going
to
happen, you know. But, yeah, but there are some people who, like, it's... When I see new, you know, women comics come onto the scene, and I'm like, oh boy, everybody's going to be, you know. But I mean, but I remember when I was a new comic, I just remember, like, because the guy that I ended up getting engaged to, he was telling me that when, you know, he would have conversations with people, they'd be like, yeah, you know Mia? Have you seen Mia? Have you checked out Mia? Do you know Mia? And he'd just be like, yeah, a lot of people asking about you. People are asking questions, you know, that kind of thing. So,
yeah.
So I think it happens on every scene as opposed to, you know, the questions of like, oh, have you seen this new comic? Or, oh, do you know this person's joke? You know, like.
It's different, right?
Yeah, it's very different. Yeah. Yeah. And they'll be like, you know, Mia with the, like, I mean, I've worked clubs before and walked outside and had, you know, other comics. Like, it might have been open mics from standing outside and I remember a guy walking up to me or screaming across the street, Mia, Mia. And I'm like, and he's like, you know, Mia with the big old titties, Mia. And I'm like,
oh, right.
Come on, dude. Like,
I know.
Like, don't, like, why would you do that? You know, why would you do that? So.
So, yeah, I mean, that's it. That's the, I mean, part of it I was aware of, but the last couple of weeks, it's just.
Yeah, it's a. Yeah, and then like I said, I go back and even for me, I've had to go, I go back and think about things to go, oh, you know what? These are things that I thought was just one of the guys and just playing along. And I'm like, man, that was really inappropriate.
Yeah.
That was really tacky, or that was really completely out of line, or, you know.
Yeah, because even with the Louis C.K., like I was aware of the Louis C.K. thing.
The rumors.
Yes. Yeah. So were you, right?
Yeah, I'd heard about him.
Now, let me ask you this. As a woman, was your immediate thought that was disgusting? Or was it your immediate thought it was weird?
My immediate thought was like, oh, that's weird. Like, that's weird. And, you know, and then before you know whether or not something like that's true, I'm like, that's weird. And then you're like, God, I hope that's not true. Yeah. You know, you're like, that's such a... It's gross, you know, and then you're like, you kind of just like, you hope it's, you know, that was more my thought about it at first. And then it's just one of the things where like, well, a lot of people are whispering about it. So,
because I always, eek. Yeah, I always thought like, well, first of all, I had no idea that it was like non-consensual. Like I thought at worst it was Louis C.K. taking advantage of the fact that he was famous and, you know, some women that wanted to be in the orbit of Louis C.K., you know, like, what would you say, pandered to his fetish. Mm,
gotcha.
But at the same time, I thought perhaps that they were like okay with being part of that because they were happy to. So at worst, it was an abuse of his celebrity.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But when the story came into the paper, I was like, God damn, this is so much more sinister than I had in my head. And of course, I felt bad for not even assuming that it was sinister. Like I thought if the story ever broke, it would be like embarrassing for Louis C.K.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you see it, then you go, oh shit, man, this is the whole thing, that there's abuse of power going on all the time. And I know now that's become like the term.
Yeah, yeah.
But now I can see it for what it is. But it just brings up so many things about like, was he aware?
Cause
I mean, that's the discussion that's not being had.
Yeah, because sometimes people think that, I mean, because I have a lot of, you know, male friends, male comic friends, and we've had conversations just in general about casual things. And, you know, and it's just like, oh, and, you know, they'll tell me they did something. I'm like, well, why'd you do that thing? And they're like, oh, you think that was wrong? Like, should I not have done that thing? Like, well, I thought she... You don't think that was cool? And I'll be like, no, I don't think that was a cool thing to have done. And, you know, and then they'll kind of go back like, oh, man, maybe, you don't think I should have put her hand on my neck? You know, and I'm like, maybe not, you know, like, no.
Yeah.
You know, so is that, but you will think because you're in that moment, people feel like, well, there's implied consent, or they think it's implied consent because you're there with them, you know. But, yeah. Yeah, but I mean, I've had people, you know, where they'll, yeah, maybe I shouldn't have, or yeah, I hope that wasn't, you know, weird, or, you know, that kind of thing, so.
Yeah, because then Dave Becky comes out and he says, I just was trying to keep it quiet in the sense of Louis was married and I was trying to avoid embarrassment. And, you know, and then you go, is that, you know, like, is this really part of you go, is that real? But then at the same time you go like, well, it's interesting because I would have never in a million years, I knew the rumors. But I would have never in a million years thought I need to get this public to stop people being hurt. Like, I didn't think that.
Yeah.
So then I go, damn, you know, like, yeah, just all sorts of.
Yeah, it just kind of, yeah, because then I guess you also wonder, like, well, gosh, if it's him, then. Are there other people that there are going to be stories about?
Well, I mean, they say that there are other people that there are going to be stories about.
Yeah, so.
I mean, the good thing that comes out of all, I mean, whatever. Like, Louis C.K. is responsible for his actions and, you know, on whatever level you think it was wrong, You know, that there's definitely seems to be a bit of a, there seems to be a spectrum on.
There's
a spectrum on. You know, some people.
Yeah, you
think
got
it's
a Facebook timeline. Yeah. Oh boy. Yeah.
There's a spectrum of the level of what people think was wrong about what Louis C.K. did. But that aside.
Yeah.
And I certainly don't think he's a victim. The benefit of this coming out, particularly somebody like, because when Harvey Weinstein comes out, people go, "Well, he's clearly a pig."
Right.
But when it comes out with Lucy Kay, you go, well, you know, like, this is a guy that, you know, I'm surprised. Anyway, the positive is it makes everybody think. Like, it makes me think. Like, even I was talking to somebody I know in the industry in another part of the world, a woman, and she's not a comedian. But even she, even though she's a woman and she knows and she knew rumors, and she's having to rethink, you know, even about the way that people treated her, you know. And then suddenly you go, like, holy shit. You know, because, like, women are just as much influenced by the misogyny and the patriarchy.
Absolutely.
They don't even know it's not cool.
Yeah, because that's the thing. We are very much, it can be very much internalized in women too, you know, because I mean, like, okay, like I've had conversation before, like one time there was a comic who asked me to do a show and he's like, can you send me some promo pics? And so I send the pictures and he's like, oh, and his response back was, I like this picture because he made a comment along the lines of something about my breast, but he tried to make a pun about it. And when I read it, I'm like, come on, man, like, whatever. Like, why would you say that? And so as I'm telling, like, you know, I'm telling people in my family about it, like, oh, God, this is kind of weird. Like, I'm kind of, like, this is what the guy said about the promo pics I sent. Like, oh, God. And then I just remember, you know, some of my, you know, family members being like, oh, but that's funny, though. You don't think that's funny? Like, don't you think that's cute? Don't you think that's kind of, I think he's just joking with you, but it's, you know, other women that would say things like, well, I don't understand what the problem is with that. And it's like, yeah, but you don't understand. I'm going to possibly have to work with this person and they're it's making awkward. Comments like this via email. Who knows what they will say or do in person. And, you know, and I kind of roll my eyes about, you know, stuff like that. But it's, you know, where there'll be things that, yeah, we think like, well, what's so bad about that? Like, I don't.
So here's the I was jogging this morning and I had this thought the future.
Let's hear it.
So this is clear now. Society has now realized that there are behaviors that are widespread and commonplace and they're no longer acceptable.
Right.
Without a shadow of a doubt, I have been involved in at least ignoring them, being apologists for them. But I can hand over heart say that, you know, more often than not, I had no idea that I was being that guy. So my mother used to hit me. Now it's no longer acceptable to for people to hit kids. I don't resent my mother for hitting kids because she's a product of her environment. And this is not, by the way, this is me trying to make sense of the future. So it's like, do we, and I'm not saying forgive men for jerking off in front of women. What I'm saying is, do we say that we need to be aware that what happened in the past was not cool? Do we resent everybody that was a product of their environment? Because I don't like the product of the environment excuse for behavior. But I also am aware that I was oblivious to loads of things that I'm no longer oblivious to. As, for example, like the fact that a lot of parents hit us when we were younger and now that's not cool.
Yeah, I mean,
so what I'm saying is, what is the, what, you know, within that comparison, what's good about using that comparison and what's bad about using that comparison? Just in terms of me trying to make sense of the future.
So,
like, as in Louis C.K. as an individual, but as a society.
As a society.
Let's just say men.
Men.
You know, men are complicit. There's an element of complicity in misogyny. So,
yeah.
A lot of people say
the agents of it
do better and all these things that people say. But at the same time, it's like, what do men, how should men feel about the past? You know, how should they come to terms with the fact that they're complicit? I mean, I know that's a big question.
Yeah, because it's not just, I think it's, but it's more than just complicity if you are the actual, what is it? The, what word am I looking for here?
The perpetrator.
Yes, that is the word. Yes, if you're the perpetrator of it. Because the, I mean, misogyny exists because men have allowed it to exist, and men also get something from it. But since it's kind of always a thing that they've gotten from it, they don't think that they're getting anything from it.
Yeah, they don't know.
Like, you know, equality, they don't think that they're getting
equality
benefits.
For men feels like oppression. That's what I was saying. Like, equality is oppression to men. It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, like, how dare you take this from me? And yes. You know, yeah, so that's the thing. I don't, so it's a,
I mean, it's a modern dilemma.
Yeah, so
it's the dilemma of the day.
Yeah, so it's like, do men, because then they, it's a thing of where they're going to have to say, well, then this doesn't benefit me and I want benefits. So it's going to take pretty much every man examining their behavior, and it's going to take every other man talking to every other man to say, hey, dude, that's not cool. Or, hey, you know, but it's good. But it's going to have to take someone who is okay with speaking up and saying, I had to tell this person this thing wasn't cool, because usually the only other way men are held accountable is when other men hold them accountable. I mean, because it was something I read, what was it, the other day, when they were talking about the whole Kevin Spacey thing, where they were like, you realize that when women were saying all these things were happening to them with other people, everybody questioned them. But as soon as you found out that men, and there were young white men that were being the victims of Kevin Spacey, then it was like, okay, we got to take this seriously immediately, because it was another man doing something to another man, you know, because people just don't typically believe women, you know. So it's going to take other men holding men accountable.
Yeah, and it's funny because if people are real clear about, like, pedophilia, you know, like,
yeah it's
like
very
even
clear.
Criminals in prison
are,
like,
there's
pedophiles need to be separated from
right,
normal
from
criminals.
The general population.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah, so that's like clear cut. And then, like, another thing is, like, men will always be like, yo, like, if I see a man hitting a woman, I, like, you know, like, then it's clear.
Right,
but then when you get into this next level, then it's like,
yeah, it's boys will be boys.
Yeah,
right. Am
yeah.
I right, guys? Come on.
So do you think in the future it will become as clear as that?
I hope it becomes as clear as that. But I mean, it's so ingrained at this point. But I'm hoping this is a
but a this
tipping
is a tipping
point.
I feel like
look
it
at
is.
That. We said it at the
same time.
I hope
I this,
think
is, this a is a tipping point.
I hope it is too. I hope it makes people say, I should examine my behavior. I should also start examining other people's behavior. I should start holding people accountable. If I see my friend being a weirdo and being a creep, I need to tell this guy, you're being a weirdo and you're being a creep. Like, stop being gross.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, because I have not seen the I have not seen the groping and the, you know, I have not seen all these things that are clearly widespread, you know.
Yeah, because I mean, people aren't gonna grope publicly.
I know.
They aren't.
I haven't seen it. I have to say, I feel like a fool. I feel like a fool. I feel like,
no.
I definitely feel complicit. Like, I do feel bad. I genuinely feel.
But
bad.
That's the thing, though. The guys, like, if they're being creeps, they're not going to do it in front of you. You know what I mean? Like, they're not going to, like, no headliner is going to go, you know what, Mia and Dez are on this show, but I'm going to pin Mia against the wall.
In front of,
well,
Dez.
Yeah, but it'll be like, but once he's out of sight, I can talk to her any way I want to. I can, you know, so, yeah, it's a, yeah, but it's got to be other, yeah, it's got to start with men speaking to other people.
Yeah,
other
I mean,
men.
It's interesting.
I mean, I think even when you look at stuff like the civil rights movement and things like that, it had to be white people telling other white people, hey, you know what we shouldn't be doing? Maybe shouldn't be.
Looks like we got a long way to go then. What a great example. Oh, God.
Oh, it's going to take
it's gonna
years.
Take some time.
It's going to take a long,
damn.
Long time.
Oh, my
yeah.
God. Who do you think will be the Martin Luther King Jr. of
who
women?
God, I don't know. It's got to be somebody. One, it has to be someone who's going to come across as almost perfect, which will be unfortunate. Like, it can't be. But I don't know who that person would be. Because
even he was inappropriate.
Yeah, there were some stories. There were some.
I know.
Some stories, some that some of them have been proven to be false, though. I will say that on behalf of all black people. yeah, some of the stories, some things were.
But you know what? Society has changed, because when you think about it, right? You know, some stuff came out about David Letterman, whatever it was, about 15 years ago, about his relations with interns.
Right.
Which,
while he was married, right?
Which is clearly in this orbit of behavior. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, and it came and went.
Yeah, yeah.
It wouldn't come and go now, but people aren't looking back at Letterman's behavior and going, wait a minute.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So, and by the way, I'm not saying that.
I'm not making
any comment that David Letterman should or shouldn't have been punished, okay? I'm just using that as an example of times have changed to an extent.
Yeah, from a...
That, you know, what once was, you know, being coming out and not being an issue is now an issue. Clarence Thomas is another example.
Yeah, look, you know what? Okay, I was actually telling somebody this not too long ago when I went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and... As I was walking around and looking at everybody, and I just remember saying to myself, I was like, it's a lot of problematic motherfuckers in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I'm like, everybody in here has hit a woman or been accused of some kind of something.
James
and I'm
Brown,
like, but it's like, but the thing is, it's like when that stuff came out, like back then you might have had, what, one story or two stories, and then you're like, but come on, man, that's James Brown. And you didn't really hear a whole lot of stuff until like later on in life. And but you think of those things happening now.
Ike Turner was well known.
Yeah.
Or Phil Spector turns out to be a fucking murderer.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean.
Yeah, but it's like all those things back then, just because you got to think like now so many people are, you know, you provide your own content, you know, one small tweet can turn into one that set the world on fire versus just somebody having a story somewhere with someone in the 1960s that doesn't gain any traction at all.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, I think it's just a matter
I'll save that for another discussion on the positives or negatives of trial by, you know, like the fact that your life can be destroyed by somebody coming out. I was saying this to somebody that I think it's great and the conversation we're having is because of this and that's all positive, but over the next year or two, it's guaranteed one or two innocent people are going to be outed by this, and that's going to be an unfortunate byproduct. But at the same time, it's like this: life is random, and life is unfair.
Yeah,
that's a tough one.
Yeah, but the numbers also say that, you know, for women, like, I mean, the number of, what is it, like, I mean, I can't remember the particular statistics, but false accusations are super, super low.
Oh, super low.
I mean, it's
super
low. So,
but just on that, I think those are false accusations to the police are super low.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas we are not.
But you're talking
dealing,
about just.
Well, we're not currently dealing with people going like people didn't go to the police about Louis C.K.
Right, right.
It's
so much to unpack here.
It's a lot, man. It's a lot. God damn, yeah.
We can't solve this in one podcast. God.
You know, when you talk about things people got away with in the 60s, I just wish I was older.
Did you say you wish you were?
Come on, I'm
Dance, come on,
come
man.
Come on, man. Is that it? You know, we can't even joke about it anymore. Damn.
You can't even now.
No,
right.
I was gonna say earlier, as the thing is like, you know, there's something wrong. You know, there's something wrong if you hear about like the past and you think, damn, it would have been handy. Would have been.
I mean, people could get away literally with murder. I mean, it's insane.
Yeah,
it is insane.
But, I mean, I guess, I hope that it's a good time to be
aware.
A woman in comedy, I hope.
Yeah, I mean, like, I feel like it'll make people think twice. I feel like it'll make people, but then again, it could also go in the opposite direction where people are like, well, I don't want to put a woman on my show because if I do, then what if she thinks, you know, so.
We'll see.
We'll see.
We've been chatting for an hour and 16 minutes.
Well, this has been a
so
good
it's
conversation.
It's a fine
conversation.
Thank you so much, and thank you for helping me to try to make sense of things. Thank you for being entertaining.
Thank you.
And just to repeat, your Twitter and your Instagram is at Mia Comedy.
It's at Mia Comedy. I also have a website, MiaJackson.com, and I'm on the Facebooks, Mia Jackson.
Mia Jackson.
Just find me, guys.
Our final show is tonight here in Aruba.
Yeah, we're going
back.
It
won't matter. There's no promotion of that to be done. And keep an eye out for me. And please, the Irish people, please make some comments to Mia so she knows that this was worth her while.
I just want a couple of Irish friends.
Yeah, and we'll get you over to Ireland.
At least just two or three.
We'll get you over to Ireland to do some shows.
Have they seen black women?
That's offensive. There's black women in Ireland, mostly African, by the way. African immigrants, largely from Nigeria, just to let you know. But you can tackle that when you get over there in your comedy.
All right, I'll see what I can do.
Because people will automatically make an assumption because you have the...
No, I'll probably have it in my...
You got your good hair on at the moment.
I'll take my hair out. I'll let them see my natural
people
hair.
Will make an assumption that you're Nigerian.
They'll think I'm Nigerian. That's fine. If they want to be...
Because they're big into the hair. Like, the hair culture is a big thing.
Hair culture is big with black women everywhere.
Oh, is that right?
It's like $1 billion industry.
Really?
Something like that. Yeah. Yes.
Well, we'll take a selfie in a minute so they know what we're talking about.
Perfect. I'm with it.
So thanks, everybody, for listening. Thank you so much to Mia for joining me. Although, of course, she just had nothing to do like me. So hence the podcast is back up and running. We'll try to keep it going on the regular. And I'll be back in Ireland. I'm going to Ireland on Sunday night to edit a special that I recorded about 6 weeks ago, 7 weeks ago. And all going well, that'll be up on a particular platform in January. And nothing else. Message us on Facebook. My Facebook is facebook.com/Des Bishop or Instagram at Des Bishop. I've been doing a lot more Instagram stories. If anyone wants to add my Instagram, my Snapchat is Des Buffer. And like it if you haven't liked our iTunes page, and subscribe, most importantly, wherever you listen to it. And yes, I'm sorry, I haven't been great. I'll try to be better, both in the podcasting world and just in general to human beings, and in the spirit of the chat to women in comedy. So chat to you guys soon. Thank you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.